simple. Say what? Love is all we need. From all the gifts that God has given unto man, from all the things that God has given unto man, nothing will be carried over except love. You know that? That little word, L-O-V-E, four letters, has caused people throughout history to do crazy stuff in pursuit of love. It doesn't matter how much money is on the bank account. It does not matter how many vehicles you may have. It does not matter how many houses you may own. At the end of the day, love is all what matters. Let's start reading 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Watch this. If I gave everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, what I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. In other words, at the end of the day, life is all about love. And because God is love, the most important lesson that we may learn while we're here on earth is how to love. Did y'all hear what I said? Because God is love, the most important lesson that you and I may learn while we are on planet Earth is how to love. When you and I learn to love, we look more like Jesus. Why do you say that? Because love is the foundation of every commandment that the Lord has given us. For example, when you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, we read the following words. Read it with me. For the law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, love is the foundation of everything that there is. May ask, why do you say that, preacher? Learning to love unselfishly is one of the most difficult things that we can go through in life. Why? Because it runs contrary to our self-centered nature. And I believe this is why God gave all of us a lifetime to learn to love. Now here comes the kicker. God wants us to love everybody, but He is especially interested and concerned that we learn to love others in His family. Within two Sundays from today, I'm going to be talking about the God of love. And because He is a God of love, He wants to have a family. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Because God loves mankind so much, He wants to have a family. When you love someone, you want to marry that person. Is that right? Amen. And when you marry that person, you want to have a family. Isn't that right? Amen. Which is a result of your love. Because God is love, and He's getting ready to marry the bride of Christ, He intended to have a family, which is you and I. So God wants you to love the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists, and whoever else. But God is more interested that you learn to love each other, the members of His family. Peter tells us in this way. Listen to 1 Peter, what is it? 2:17. 1 Peter 2:17. Read it with me. Respect everyone. Did you notice the different verbs here? In the beginning, it said, respect everyone. He didn't say love everyone. Although we should, it's good. We'll do good to us. But he's telling us to respect everyone. Because every human being deserves to be respected. Independent of your social class, your skin color, your cultural background, every human being deserves to be respected. But when it comes to the church, your family, we are commanded to love your Christian brothers and sisters. And then when it comes to God, fear God. When it comes to the Democrats, to authorities, respect the king. The Apostle Paul echoes the same feeling when he tells us in Galatians 6:10 the following. Watch this. Let's read it. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Love is all that we've got, folks. We should do good to every people. But when it comes to the family of faith, we should put an extra effort in loving. Which means you may not like Sister Mavis because she's very nosy, but you're commanded to love Sister Mavis, whether you like it or not. And I tell you, some folks are really, really hard to love. Why does God insist that we give special love and attention to other believers? Because God wants his family to be known by love, not their doctrine. Special emphasis is given to us. Why do we have to prioritize in loving the church or family more than anybody out there? Because God wants his family to be known for its love for one another, not for their doctrines. Jesus said that it is our love for one another, not our doctrinal beliefs, that will be the greatest witness to the world out there. Did you know that? Listen to John 13:35. Maybe you should read it with me. This is how everyone, how? Isn't that something? This is how the whole world will know that you are really a disciple of Jesus Christ, a child of God. When you are loving that knucklehead brother from your church that nobody can bear. The best witness that you can give to the world out there is loving one another. He says, this is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples. When you, when they see that you love the love you have for each other. You know what, preacher? Give me the NLT here. Let me see what does it say. Watch this. Your love for one another will prove that you are my disciples. This is why God places so much emphasis on loving one another. And why should I do that, preacher? Because in heaven we will enjoy God's family forever. So we better learn to love each other right down here while we can. And you know, again, I said this so many times. I will shut down anybody when they go, oh, this is a black church, this is a white church, this is a yellow church. No, it's not, you dummy. This is the church of the living God. Because God is colorblind when it comes to his family. God is colorblind when it comes to his family. And I know some of us like the shaking back and forth. Some of us like the huh. And some of us like the other stuff. We're still family. We can change this. And this is how God wants us to be known. We will prove to the world that we are his disciple when we learn to love even the most difficult brother and sister. The most difficult brother and sister that is hard to be loved. If you can't not live along with me down here, you're going to be out of heaven. Because I'm going to be there. And if you can't live with me here, I don't think you will make it. There's not a black heaven, a white heaven, a brown heaven, a Chinese heaven, a Korean heaven, a Spanish heaven, a Hebrew heaven. Heaven is a happy place. And heaven is for all of us. God is interested that his family be known by the love. Because at the end of the day, love is all that we got. Folks, we have some tough work to do here on earth to prepare ourselves for eternity with our family. And I believe that God trains us by giving us family chores or family responsibilities. And one of the greatest chores that we have is learning to practice love towards each other. What do you mean by that? I believe that God wants you and I to be in regular, close fellowship with each other. So we can develop the skill of loving. Say amen. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. Love cannot be learned in isolation. Amen. Y'all didn't hear what I said. Amen. Love cannot be learned in isolation. We went a year and change ago to visit a congregation because somebody was bugging us to go. So we walk into that congregation. And we are just standing by ourselves waiting the time to start. There's one group here. There's one group there. These are the Caucasians. These are the African Americans. Then the Chinese were that side. The Hispanics were that side. And the other ones on the back, I don't know what they were. They all mixed up. And we walked in the place and nobody, not one single person came in. Hey, welcome tonight. Good to have you around. Nobody. I think that one of the greatest family chores that God gave to us as a family is learn to love each other. And that's a tough chore. You know, tough chore to do. Tough job to do. But you know what? It's training time. Love cannot be learned in isolation. We have to be around people. You know, irritating people. Sister Mavis people, imperfect people, frustrating people, doubting people, we've got to be around them so we can learn to love. And I'm going to cut it in half today. I'm going to give you three reasons why we should learn to love even the most difficult people in the congregation. Number one, the best way to spend our lives is loving. Say what? The best use of life is love. The best way for us to spend our lives is loving. Or learn how to love people. And I say this because love should be our priority. Love should be our greatest ambition. Love should be our primary objective. And I go to the point to say that love should not be a good part of our lives. Love must be the most important part of our lives. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. I'm going to read just the beginning of that scripture. Love should be the most important part of our life. Read it with me. Go after love. You got that? Go after a life of love as if your life depend on it. Because it does. Your very life depends on love. And love is something that we should pursue day and night. It's supposed to be the most important thing in our lives. It's not enough for us to say, one of the things I want in life is to be loving. No. Wrong. Love should be on the top 10 list. No. Love must be the most important part of our lives. Why? Because we've been told by God to do so. You know, relationships must have priority in our lives above anything else. Why? I'm glad you ask. Life without love is worthless. Listen to, again, 1 Corinthians 13, 3. Paul says on the end of that verse, this is why I say, life without love is really worthless. Paul says, if I give everything that I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, what I do, I am bankrupt without love. So what you're saying, preacher? The Bible is saying that life without love is actually worthless. And many times we hear people talking, and even we ourselves act as if relationship is something to be squeezed into our schedule. Many times you hear people talk about finding time for their children or making time for people in their lives. Have you ever heard that? That gives an impression that relationships are just part of our lives, along with many other tasks. But God says relationship is what life is all about. Did you know that in the Ten Commandments, four of the Ten Commandments deals with our relationship to God, while the other six deals with our relationship with people? Isn't that something? The best of all 10 commandments are about relationship. And Jesus knocked the nail down when he said this. Brother preacher, give me Matthew 22:37-40. Watch this. Let's read it. Jesus replied, "You must love." Here comes the knockout punch. A second is equally important. What's the first word? So what you're saying? God is saying, after learning to love God, start working, learning to love other people. This is the second greatest commandment God can give to us. And I want you to listen to this now, folks. I am not against achievement. Did you hear what I said? I am not against achievement. But at the end of the day, relationships, not achievement, or the acquisition of things, are what matters most in life. Did you hear what I said? It's not the achievement, it's not the acquisition of things that matters most in our life. Relationship is. And sadly, we allow our relationship to get the short end of the stick. When our schedules become overloaded, we start scheming relationally. Cutting back on giving time, energy, and attention that loving relationships requires. I'd say that what is most important to God is displaced by what's urgent. Did you know that business is a great enemy of relationship? What? We become preoccupied with making money, making a living, paying bills, doing our work, and accomplishing goals as if these tasks are the most important thing in life. They're not. The most important thing in life is learning to love. Amen. God first, and then your fellow brother and sister. Amen. Life minus love equals zero. Therefore, we should start working on that home shore, family shore, learning to love even the people that are difficult to love. Second, love will last forever. And I believe this is another reason why God tells us to make love our top priority. It's because love will last forever. Listen to 1 Corinthians 13:13. Maybe you should read it with me. Three things will last forever. Love lasts forever. Love leaves a legacy. How we treated other people, not our wealth or our accomplishment, is the most enduring thing that we can live on earth. Y'all hear what I said? You know, many times when a people is just about to die, on those final moments in their lives, when they are standing at the edge of eternity, do you know what they say? It's never, bring me my diplomas. I want to look at them one more time. Have you ever heard somebody do that? Or show me my medals, my trophies. Show me my awards. Show me that gold watch I was given. That's not what you hear when people are at the edge of eternity. When we come to that point, what we want around us is people. People we love and have a relationship with. This is why learning to love is so important. In our final moments, we all realize that relationships are what life is all about. And we do better to learn that truth sooner than later. What you're saying, preacher? Don't wait until your deathbed to figure out that nothing matters more than a loving relationship. I met a saint recently on her way out to the grave. And this saint said, preacher, I really, 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 really wish God would give me one more chance. And I asked, why should he do that? I would go back and make friendship with people that I always kept a distance. Isn't that something? At the end of the day, folks, love is all what we get. Relationships matters most than success and accomplishments on the business world. Number three, finally, I'm going to cut it short as I said. God will evaluate us on the basis of love. We will be evaluated in eternity on the basis of love. This is why I believe we should make learning to love the goal of our lives. And I believe that God measures spiritual maturity by the quality of relationships that we have. Why would you say that? Guess what? I believe that when we get to heaven, God will not look at me and say, Paul Santos, by the way, tell me about your career as a preacher. Are you with me here? It ain't gonna happen. Or, David, tell me about your bank account. Or, tell me about your hobbies. This is not how God will evaluate us when we get to heaven. I believe that he will reveal how we treated other people, particularly those in need. Jesus says that the way to love him is to love his family and care for their practical needs. Did you know that? Did you know that? Well, Brother Preacher, give them Matthew 25:40. Watch this. Read it with me. And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it, did you get the point? When we get to heaven, the way that we will be evaluated is not by our hobbies, it's not by our bank account, it's not by our careers, it's not by how much achievement we accomplish here. The king will look at us and say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. So, preacher, what you're saying, now you got me concerned. The Bible is saying that Jesus said that the way to love him is when we love his family and care for them and their practical needs. That's what he's saying. So, when we move into eternity, you know, y'all know we're going to move one day, right? U-Haul cannot take you there. All the trophies, all the goodies that you have here, U-Haul cannot make to heaven. We will leave everything else behind. All we will be taking with us is our character. This is why the Bible says in Galatians 5:6 that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Watch this. Read it with me. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Brother preacher, can you give me verse 6? Yeah. At the end of the day, folks, this is what it boils down to. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is at the end of the day, when we are in our way to heaven, you can be Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Republican, Democrat, whatever. The only thing that will count is faith that expresses itself through love. So what's the point, preacher? Now you got me confused. I did not. Now, knowing this, maybe when we wake up every morning, we need to kneel by our bedside or maybe sit at the edge of it and pray, Lord, whether I get anything done today or not, I want to make sure that I spend time loving you first and then loving other people. Because that's what life is all about. We don't have to waste one more day, folks. And look at things this way. Why should God give us another day if we are going to waste it anyway? Are you with me here? So, preacher, what you're saying here? I'm wrapping up by reading with you. 2 John 1:6. At the end of the day, folks, love is all what you got. So we should start training ourselves how to love. Next week, I'm going to continue. Let's read it. And this is love. At the end of the day, folks, we're supposed to be breathing love. We're supposed to be speaking love. We're supposed to be walking love, because love is all what we get. I like the way that NLT puts it. May I have the NLT here, Brother Preacher? Love means doing what God has commanded us to do, which is love one another. Huh? And He has commanded us to love one another. Now, the backslider translation has a kick to it. Watch this. Love means okay, third graders, can we read it together now? Huh? Let's read it. Love means following His commandments. And His unifying commandment is that you conduct your lives in love. This is the first thing you heard, and nothing has changed. Let's learn how to love. Even the people that is difficult to love. You know, I always put it this way. Thank God he's willing to put up with tough people, hard people, difficult people. I know myself. And by the way, thanks for putting up with me. But you know, at the end of the day, God is expecting you and I to learn to love each other, despite of our differences. And it may very well be that the things that we differ upon are the very things that will strengthen us as a group. Are you with me? The very things that we disagree may be the very thing that strengthen us as a family. Whether you like it or not, you're part of my family, and you can't get rid of me. So if you're going to heaven, get used to me, because I'm going to be heaven, baby. So we better learn to get along around while we are here. Because as long as it's a day, love is all what we need. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for the instructions that you left for us to love one another. Lord, help us to understand that it's not the accomplishments. It's not the bank accounts. It's not the hobbies. It's not the diplomas, certificates. It's not the awards or medals or trophies. At the end of the day, Lord, in your eyes, we're going to be evaluated by how much we loved you and how much we loved your family. Teach us, Lord, how to love. And teach us how to put up with each other, even when we don't want to do it. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.